Good morning, Cody Shamble here with you. I am joined by Bev and Bree from Rivers and Bluffs Animal Shelter. It is our Monday morning Prairie du Chien Area Chamber of Commerce sponsored interview. And of course, Rivers and Bluffs Animal Shelter is a chamber member. So good morning, ladies, and thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and Bev, you've been at the shelter since the very beginning, is that correct?
Pretty much.
Pretty much. Okay, so tell me how the shelter got started and kind of just take me through a little bit of history, how we got to this point today.
It started in 2007 with a small group of people who recognized the need for an animal shelter in this area. We started just with all we could do was fundraising. Started having lots and lots of fundraisers, sometimes almost monthly fundraisers, it seemed. In addition to the monthly fundraisers, we had another group of people that saw the need for a capital campaign, and then we just kept plugging away, and it seemed insurmountable that if we'd ever get there or not. One of the largest boosts to our fundraising efforts was a donation of land by an anonymous donor on East Campion. This large donation re-energized the group, the community, and it seemed like finally our dream would come true. After communication with the city of Prairie du Chien, they offered to trade land for where we are now on Cliffwood Drive for the parcel we had donated. This is a much better fit for the shelter. The shelter, Rivers and Bluffs, is nestled between the mighty Mississippi and the bluffs of the river, so it's a perfect location. We've got land out there to walk on. We broke ground November 2016. Shortly after construction, we realized we may not have enough money to finish. So another generous anonymous donor gave us the money we needed with no interest, no repayment date. It's been repaid shortly after we got it, but without that boost, who knows what would have happened. He just thought we would lose our momentum and people would stop believing in us if we didn't keep moving forward. So we got that. Since opening on December 4th, 2017, we have found homes for 1,588 animals.
Wow. Wow.
How many more cats than dogs, do you know?
I would say 3/4 of that is probably cats. On average, every year we probably adopt around 100, 150 cats, dogs 50 to 90 a year. So just kind of, we get more cats. The cat population is insane.
Yeah, so we talk a lot, as we'll get into later on, we talk a lot about the cats, the spaying and the neutering of the cats. Yeah.
So going from there, all of this would not be possible without the generosity of the businesses and the members of this community who have given us their unwavering support for all of these years. We have a beautiful animal shelter that this community can and should be proud of. We have one full-time employee, Breanne Bolt, is sitting right here. She, as well as a small number of volunteers, care for the cats and dogs as if they're our own. And what happens, many of us end up taking multiple animals home because it's kind of like one of the hazards of the job. You have how many?
Oh, we're not going to talk about that.
Just from the shelter, from Rivers and Bluffs.
I think I have 2 animals from the shelter.
Okay. Yeah. You get attached to them, you hear their story, and yeah.
Yeah, and I have 3, and it's just, and there's almost everyone there, I think, has adopted an animal from the shelter or more. So oftentimes when we're talking to people, they tell us, oh, I could never visit the shelter or volunteer there because I just feel too sorry for the pets. Our response is always the same. Don't feel sorry for these pets. These are the lucky ones, lucky they have found their way to the shelter. We do more than just feed and clean up kennels. We spend many hours every day, day in and day out, holidays, family events, loving on these animals. We may sit for hours at a time trying to help that abandoned kitten or puppy learn to love and trust again. Just imagine being mauled by a litter of playful kittens in the kitten room. They're all over you, and it's just pure fun. Yeah. People come in just to do that every day, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, we I would say a lot of our visitors come in and they say, we just want to get some kitten love. And I'm like, go for it.
Having a bad day? What's better than that, right?
Just socialize with them, because it's helping them get used to family life. I mean, we don't have a lot of children that volunteer at the shelter, so when those families come in and quite blankly, they manhandle those kittens, and they get used to it, and they love it as much as the kids love it. So it's giving them a good groundwork of, yeah, we can be in a home with kids, and we can deal with the yelling and the running and being dressed up and carried around. It's perfect. It's perfect for them. So, yeah.
And, I mean, just some of the stories that we have. We had a great Dane that came in probably 2 or 3 years ago. It was a November Sunday morning. Two of us were just getting ready to leave the shelter, and the phone rang. We listened to the message, and a lady had finally trapped a Great Dane she had been trying to trap that had been on the run, trying to get it for like 3 weeks. She got it on a Sunday morning. No shelter would take it from her. She called us. I called Bree to see what she said. Bree said, ask her what time she'll be there. So within an hour, the lady was there. Bree and I and the lady who trapped her carried the dog into the shelter in the crate, in the trap it was trapped in, snapping at us and terrified. And long story short, that dog ended up going to a great home. It took a long time for it to trust us, but it ended up going to a great home in the area. And then another story, when a lot of people will recognize this dog, we called the dog the Highway K Stray. It was a golden doodle that was on the run on Highway 35, right by the intersection of K. Mm-hmm. We tried to get this dog. We'd set, had a trap set, but no one would not feed the dog. They kept taking steaks out there, and so why would it go into a trap when there's steaks right next
there's
to steaks, the trap?
Yeah, there's good food right there. Yeah.
So we came up with another plan. We got a big kennel, an outdoor kennel, set this up, put food, Quick Trip chicken in there, and a blanket. Went out the next morning, and we could tell she had spent the night in there. And she went back in after more chicken, and we had a long rope on the kennel door. As soon as she went in, we slammed it shut. We thought we had her, but that was just the beginning.
Yeah, it was.
She almost got away from us that morning. She was crazy. But she took quite a while.
Yeah. And she is one of the ones that was the hazard for a volunteer, and she is living with one of our very dedicated volunteers right now, and she is very happy.
And actually, I feel the dog picked the volunteer. I truly do.
Well, that's just some of the amazing stories, right?
Being
in this space for so many years, you know, you get to, you know, the backstory of these animals, you're caring for them, trying to, you know, watch their interactions with humans, and then getting to see them leave with a family. Not only is it satisfying for that family because they're getting a new pet, but it's got to be rewarding for you guys as well to see that full cycle of what your job is.
Yeah, it's a very bittersweet job. I mean, there are days where it's just like, oh my God, I can't believe this stuff is happening. But you have to take a moment and just be like, but look at everything that we're doing. Like, it may feel like sometimes we're taking a couple steps backwards, but we're always making strides forward. And I think kind of what Bev had said, everybody's like, oh my God, I could never do that. I could never volunteer there. I could never work there. But if you just do it, it is so amazing. And you won't regret it. You will not regret coming to the shelter.
And just seeing the difference we make. And it's good for people, too. It gives you a feel-good feeling. Right. You know, you're helping animals, and you're helping people find maybe another pet. Maybe they just lost theirs, and maybe they need another one right away, and we're helping them do that.
So you talked about volunteering. You know, it's more than just, as you guys have said, more than just walking dogs. You know, it's more than cleaning litter boxes. What are some other ways folks can help you guys out at the shelter?
We always have laundry and dishes to do. We have a few volunteers that no longer can walk the dogs just due to health issues, or maybe they're allergic to cats, but they're not a dog person. So they do dishes every morning and they do laundry. I mean, we're probably running 10 loads of laundry a day if we're a full house in there with kittens and puppies and everything like that. Fundraisers, we have a few volunteers that have full-time jobs. They can't come in during the care shifts and help the animals, but you bet they'll be there manning the food stands or being in parades or coming to the dog swim to help with that. There are so many ways to help. Even just sharing posts and, I mean, donating money or donating supplies, collecting supplies, the businesses that do donation drives, in a way, that's kind of volunteering. You're helping the shelter.
Yep.
So we appreciate all of it, and no job is too small.
Well, and you talked, Bev, you know, basically the story of how the shelter got started was took a community to do it.
It
took everybody helping everyone, and that's how the shelter continues to thrive, is the community has to support. Yes, you're there every day. Bev, you're there a ton as well.
Yep.
But it takes the community support and the community volunteering to keep this thing going.
Yep. And, I mean, we love going out into the community, too. We just attended the Opportunity Center's 60th party, and we were awarded a nonprofit partner. The Opportunity Center is bringing their clients out multiple times a week, sometimes multiple times a day. And we love seeing them and seeing them interact, and they even volunteer. I mean, sometimes when they come, they're mopping the floors for us or they're wiping down the windows. I mean, so it's something anybody can do, you know? I mean, it's easy once you get started.
Yeah, you just got to take the step, right? Take that first initial, you know? And there's nothing wrong with volunteering once and going, okay, that wasn't for me, but at least I gave it a try, right?
That's exactly right. That's
and we
exactly
talked
right.
A little bit about some of the community stuff you guys do. I know you guys come in a lot and we talk, you know, about those events going on. But if you want to just highlight those, a few of those maybe for folks, some things you have going on, the shoe drive we talk about a lot, yep. You know, just ways, you know, folks can help you with those events.
If you like to bake, we have two bake sales a year, and they're big. We have one every Mother's Day weekend at Nelson's Ace Hardware. It's always a Friday and Saturday of Mother's Day bake sale and a brat stand. Then we have another one at Tractor Supply in mid-December in time for the holidays. If we have any dogs at that time, we'll bring dogs for people to meet and greet. We do the Rooster Andy's Chicken Queue. That's a good one for us. The shoe drive is a big one.
I still have people asking if we're taking shoes.
Yeah. And then another really big one that anybody can help with this. If you have aluminum cans, drop them off at the shelter. We have one volunteer who spends hours every week sorting cans, taking the garbage out if there's garbage in with, and sometimes there is, and separating the five centers from the non-five centers. We have one whole can cage that is full of huge bags of 5 cent cans that, once every month?
Yeah, I would say about once a month.
Another volunteer will load them onto his own trailer, drive to the Wakan Redemption Center, and redeem those 5 centers.
That's awesome.
You know, it's a huge income for the shelter.
Very
good. And it's continuous. So we couldn't do it without, you know, without everybody doing their part.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. It's such a amazing story. Thank you guys for coming in and sharing it, talking about the shelter, ways folks can volunteer.
Just call.
You know, It's reach out if you've, you know, ever had an interest in it. Hopefully it says move some people to come out and make that phone call and help volunteer as well. Or even just come out and spend some time with the animals, right?
Just stop and see it. There are people that have been in there and they'll say, and this is from a young guy that I met while I was walking a dog out at Cabela's. He was walking out and wanted to pet the dog, and we started talking dogs. And then I said, you want to see the shelter? He said, yeah. After we gave him a tour of the shelter that night, he said, this probably sounds weird to say, but he said, I am really amazed at this shelter, from a guy that's 23 years old. And now he's a regular volunteer.
There you go. Just takes a little nudge there. So
yeah,
Bev, Bree, thank you so much as well. Thank you to Bob and the Chamber for sponsoring this interview well.
Yes, thank you, Bob.
Folks, go out and volunteer. Help them out. Support their events in the community as well when they're having them. It takes a community to keep this shelter going. So, Bev, Bree, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.